FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/26/18. Just five more days left to this glorious year. The stock market is bouncing back. It's up over 200 points. Thank goodness for the plunge protection team. What would we ever do without them? And hey, by the way, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever your holiday of choice is. We wish you the best and hope that it's a great time for you and the family getting together and experiencing each other's company. You know, as older you get, the less opportunities you get for these things. And that's why the holidays and family are so important, especially to me. Hey, and I've got three millennial children. Thank goodness they're all successful. They're not stereotypical millennials living in my basement. And that would be very difficult because in Florida here, we don't have basements. And I don't really have much of an attic either, which means we'd be in our direct path of one another. Thank goodness it hasn't come down to that. But if you are a millennial or you're related to millennials, you're a millennial parent, a parent of a millennial, or you have friends who have millennials, then you need to hear from this person. He's going to help you become a non-stereotypical millennial. That means a successful millennial, or he can help your kids. His name is Connor Richardson, author, and the name of the website where you find him is Millennial Money Makeover, and that's the name of the book as well, on sale at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books used to be sold. And Connor, we welcome you to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Hey, so, you know, when you think of millennials these days, you think of a kid who's angry, social justice warrior, who's burdened with tens of thousands, maybe even over $100,000 of student loan debt, who has a degree in a useless major like puppetry or art history. And don't get me wrong, we're all for learning for the sake of learning, because you got to keep learning your whole life or you become sclerotic and unproductive. But there is a thing called practicality. We don't think of millennials being very practical. And yet your book kind of in some ways reinforces that stereotype. But in other ways, you're the anti-millennial yourself.
Right. Well, I think millennials get a really bad rap in the media. And We do have all of those things that you mentioned earlier. We have a tremendous amount of student loan debt. For the graduating class of 2017, the average college debt was around $37,000. And then we also have some credit card debt sprinkled in on top of that as well. So we have debt of roughly $40,000 or more coming out of college. And as you mentioned, some millennials have majors that don't really pack an economic punch, but that's totally okay because we teach them how to turn that around completely with the Millennial Money Makeover and get them on the right track.
Hey, and that's like such a good thing because, like you say, they've gotten over indebted and they may not have had their priorities in the right place. You might have said, gee, college is for me, when you should have become an auto mechanic or a welder. You know, one thing about your generation, Connor, is it seems like they're not really into working in industry, working in factories, using their hands. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but somehow you guys got convinced that regardless what your aptitude, your desire, or your ambition, college was the place for you. And that often wasn't the case, was it?
No, absolutely not. And we were certainly sold and definitely believed the message that college is the perfect place and quite honestly, maybe the only place where success lies. But actually, nothing could be further from the truth, because if you look at some of quote unquote the unsexy industries, there is terrific opportunity there. And one of the things I talk about in Millennial Money Makeover is this concept of the three things that you can really look at when you are pursuing, let's call it, higher education. So the first is the alternative experience. So these are people like Seth Godin who are offering solutions to higher cost education at a fraction of the price because they believe the higher education system is broken. The second is what we're really talking about. I call it the dirty experience. And that's with people like Mike Rowe, who are advocating trade school and all alternative forms of education, not just traditional higher class education in a sense. And those experiences are tremendous for people because what it allows them to do is allows them to build up a skill set, and they aren't encumbered by the debt that they take on to actually get there. So that can be welding, a whole host of the trades, which we have shifted away from, but were traditionally the backbone of the middle class in this country.
Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, not everybody should be in college. So the dirty job thing, look, a lot of jobs are being gotten rid of through automation, through AI, artificial intelligence. So you do need to think outside of the box, right? You do need to look at other means of making a living. And education might be the way to go. But if you weren't a good student in high school, you know, often you're sold a bill of goods that college miraculously is going to turn you into a good student. Right. And often nothing could be further from the truth. So you guys rightfully have a right to be angry because I think your generation really got conned.
Yes, I think there's certainly people in there who on the, let's call it the lower end of the bell curve, missed out on an opportunity for some reason or another. That may be that they didn't get that second degree. So if you're a philosophy major, you know, you didn't get that economic punch with an economics or finance degree. And there are people who perhaps didn't finish college and did not understand the full ramifications of having that student loan debt and then not finishing. So you definitely miss out on the opportunity for increases in incomes throughout your working life. And then there are people who maybe had both those things happen or another variable where school wasn't really for them. But that could be an advantage sometimes too, because the earlier you recognize that, the sooner you can correct the path that you're on too.
And that is a great point. So look, you know, the fact is that they have gone wrong in a lot of respects, and they have to change course. And that means they have to learn, right? I mean, isn't that what this is about? Teaching people how to learn from their mistakes so that you don't make them again, so that you're actually better prepared to face the world?
Yes. So one of the principles in Millennial Money Makeover is this whole concept of learning from experience is too slow. And what I mean by that is for all the millennials out there who are suffering financially or they're waking up and they just don't know how to get started, the path has been proven and there are proven playbooks out there. And that's what I try to offer in Millennial Money Makeover. So you don't have to come up with a novel concept to turn your finances around, because you can follow what I've laid out in Millennial Money Makeover as a six-step journey, because there's a lot of information overload out there about what to do with your finances, and people get overwhelmed and they don't even really know where to begin. So as a certified public accountant, what I've done is taken a look at everything out there and tried to distill it into a six-step program that people can follow in a sequential order that will completely get them from being a broke millennial all the way to a rich millennial. And to your point earlier, this can be for millennials who are struggling, and it can be a great conversation starter for parents of millennials as well. And to be quite honest, that's where I'm seeing a lot of the traffic go these days, is it's being a conversation starter between parents and sons and daughters, and removing that taboo or stigma around money.
Mm-hmm. So So when somebody comes to your office and they're, you know, basically a broke millennial and you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, what's the first thing you do with this person?
So the first thing they need to do is make the decision to turn what I call professional with your finances. And if they have been in student loan debt and they haven't really addressed it, or they have been sort of just at break even for a while, they need to change their relationship with money. And once they do that, then we can have a meaningful conversation about what the next steps are going to be. And that starts with thinking about your short-term goals, 3 to 6 months out, and then getting together your long-term goals as well. And really making sure that those goals are not someone else's goals for you, but yours. So does that mean that you want to be aggressive and pay down your student loans as fast as possible? Or maybe you don't have debt and you're trying to accumulate as much as you can. Then you can take a look at how much you need to save per paycheck, where you want to put your money. Do you have the emergency fund already set up? Do you have your slush fund set up? And we sort of just look at where they are individually. And that's where the personal and personal finance comes into play.
So figuring out what you really want in life is key to getting out of this mess, isn't it?
Yes, life goals are directly correlated with financial goals most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what about this concept of doing what you really love? All right, going out there, doing what you love, that isn't necessarily going to pay the bills or keep you current on your student loans, is it?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
No, for the lucky few, it will. And those are the people we hear about most often. But the reality is, if you are struggling financially and you're pursuing your passion job, for example, and that's paying you $20,000 to $30,000, but you went to a liberal arts school where you have $80,000, I'm totally fine with you pursuing that. But maybe we do that as a part-time job, as you know, a supplement to the creative side of yourself. And then you're going out there and trying to seek those jobs that have a higher income so that you can pay down those debts as quickly as possible. And then we can go back to, you know, that passion job that you're not earning as much as you want to, as long as that marries with what you want on a long-term basis. So a lot of times people get confused with what makes perfect emotional sense and what makes good financial sense.
So really, you got to get some introspection here. You got to figure out why you failed in the first place, right? Isn't that what it's about?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that people have to understand is that there's a very strong correlation between delayed gratification and long-term wealth building on a personal level, as well as in your bank account. So you might have to, you know, garner some inner strength and really suck it up to try to find something that maybe isn't the best fit for you right now, but makes sense over the long term. And there are really three things that I tell people to try to put this into frame. So the first is while you might be a millennial parent, the millennial should ask their parents to move back in with them. So the highest fixed cost you will have in life, most likely when you're in your 20s and 30s, is your rent. So if you have high debt, I encourage you to sit down and have that conversation with your parents and help them out in the process. The second thing is to sell your nice car if you have it. A lot of times there's a giant chasm between where someone is financially and where they want to be. So there's a big disconnect if you're driving around in a BMW or a Mercedes and you have $40,000 of student loan debt coupled with maybe a lease payment as well. Yeah. And the third thing is to try to establish a buddy system. The majority of millennials are in debt and are going through the same thing that you are. And that social encouragement is incredibly valuable for beating debt in the long term.
That's interesting. Hadn't really thought of it, but what you're saying makes complete, total sense. So then you got to have a plan, obviously, right? This is all about having a plan. And what should be your time frame for the plan? And what are your goals in the plan? Obviously, getting out of debt, but you want to acquire wealth as well, right?
Absolutely. So that really depends on where you are in your financial life cycle, let's call it. And you want to establish those short-term goals, which are 3 to 6 months in nature. And if you're out of debt, that could be building up savings and putting money into investments. And then your long-term goals could be, okay, establishing 1 to 5 years of savings or investments over my monthly expenses. So that's really where I tell people to focus on how you're doing financially with how much you have covered to cover your monthly expenses. So 3 to 6 months is a great target when you're first getting started. 5 years, in the book, I refer to as FU money. And that's when you can decide to maybe start your own business or leave the job that you really don't like and pursue something that you can make income in and then have that sort of passion with it as well. But it all depends on where you want to go and how quickly you want to go there. I have people that come to me that say, okay, I have $50,000 in debt. I want to wipe this thing out in 2 years. Okay, then we do the math and how much do you actually need to pay on that debt each month? Well, if you're living in a high rise in downtown, maybe you need to move out to the suburbs for a little bit or move back in with the parents to throw as much cash as you can at that balance. And it can also work for accumulating investments as well, or maybe a down payment on a house. So if you make that initial sacrifice early, the long-term benefits are tremendous.
So, but you know, you're going to get resistance from these people, right? That, hey, I'm a failure. You know, I didn't make it. And the idea of moving back in with my parents, how could I do such a thing? It's really... this is about the worst thing ever that you're telling me to do. How do you assuage their feelings of failure and insecurity?
Well, I point out the fact that their past decisions led them to where they are today. But today is new and the future is bright. And if you make the decision to change your relationship with your money and how you are going to better yourself in the future, that decision today can be a stopping point. And you will remember your life in two phases. The first is before you made this decision, and the second is after, and after is better.
Definitely agree with you there. Hey, how did you avoid making these mistakes yourself, Connor?
Well, I didn't. So I had some credit card debt and my wife and I paid off student loans. And in that process, I realized that this could be a long-term process or it could be a short-term process. And we were incredibly aggressive with it and paid off thousands of dollars in student loans as well as credit cards in just a couple years. And then from there, we really kept that same infrastructure and we started saving. And once you, what I call, cross from the red into the black, you know, you're out of debt and then you're starting accumulating for yourself, the sun shines higher, the world is wide open. You can start investing and seeing your money grow at an exponential rate. So all of this is through academic research and literature that I've boiled down into a book, as well as sort of anecdotal evidence from my own life and the fact that you completely can turn yourself around in a very short amount of time.
Hey, and that's a great story. And that you pulled yourself out, you and your wife did it. I find that pretty remarkable. And I'm impressed by it. So, but obviously it started with a desire to do it. The recognition that your previous plan wasn't a plan for success.
No.
So people come to you. Just tell us about some people who've come to you and you've helped them work things out.
Yeah. So it's funny because as I started, so I have this website, Millennial Money Makeover. And as I've started writing more and more, I'll get emails or direct messages from people, or I'll be out at a social event and I'll have people sort of kind of pull me aside and ask me questions. But I get questions. There is a married couple who the husband came to me and was discussing the fact that his wife had a lot of student loan debt and he had some savings built up and they were newly married. And he was asking me, should I pay off the student loan debt or should I keep this money in savings? And it's a conversation that we're sort of starting to have now about the debt payment. And, you know, my answer to him is that what a terrific way to start your marriage is if you can become debt-free right off the bat. That way you've eliminated this together and you start from zero and you build up from there based off of what you two want your life to look like in the future. And that's what they did. And they're having great success now, but it's getting people to have that conversation and to realize that the debt is real and it's definitely not going away unless you eradicate it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is for sure. And it sounds like you're never going to be, at a want for clients here, Connor. It sounds like
no.
You got millions of potential clients, and we wish you the best of luck on your book. And just give us again the name of the website where we find you and where we can begin to make it all happen.
So you can find me at millennialmoneymakeover.com. And my book is on sale at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and as we say, wherever books are sold. So if you enjoy what you read or you have any questions, please feel free to email me at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at millennialmoneymakeover.com. I love hearing from people who read the book and read the website and all my articles. So if you're struggling, you can do this, and the future is bright.
All right. The future is bright. Hey, thank you so much for coming on. Any questions, comments, be a part of the show and email us at kl@carrielutz.com. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And hey, if you're listening on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps us when you do that. And if you're not listening on YouTube, if you're just hearing the podcast, please share it with friends, people who you think this can help. I'm sure you know plenty of millennials out there who could really use Connor's help. So please send them a link to the podcast. Connor, been great having you on. We'll look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.